This is Twit.
So I have an Amazon Echo. I have 3 Echo Dots and an Echo Show on order. I'm kind of an addict. I have also been ogling Apple's HomePod coming later this year. And I sometimes think I ought to get a Google Home just because. And then I remember how annoying it is to hear my kids or my husband or myself yelling at these devices to turn off or turn down the music or just rudely responding when it has no idea what we're talking about. There's been some rumbling about how these devices might be teaching all of us, especially the young people among us, some very bad behaviors. Joining us to talk about this is longtime tech journalist and pundit Rafe Needleman. Welcome back to the show, Rafe.
It's good to be back. Good to see you guys.
So you write a great column on Medium about tech etiquette. So explain why we should be polite to our devices.
Well, I will first tell you that when I first saw people writing saying that we should be polite to our technology devices because it's teaching us and our children how important it is to be polite, I thought that was nonsense, that the most important thing to do is to teach people to be polite to other people and to know the difference between people and machines. And machines don't care, right? Mm-hmm. But then I started to realize that we're moving into an era of artificial intelligence where, A, it's harder and harder to tell apart a machine from a person. So you sometimes don't know if you're talking to a machine or a person, especially on a customer support chat or email or eventually a phone call. So you might as well be nice because there might be a person there or it might be a machine. And sometimes a machine will be telling you it's a person. And sometimes actually a person will be telling you it's a machine and you just don't know. So why not be nice? More importantly, what if these machines get smart? What if they develop emotions? What if they are programmed to respond to our sentiment, to our emotionality in their own way? It doesn't hurt to be polite to machines because they might be recording all this stuff and remembering who's naughty and who's nice, and it could come back to bite us. Might as well play it safe instead of sorry. That's all.
I agree. But you bring up another point that I'd like an explanation of some etiquette. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have been on Twitter or sometimes different like chat places where I've been surprised to know that I'm speaking to a bot and not a human. What is the responsibility of a company to make it clear on Twitter or elsewhere, Facebook Messenger, that you are talking to a bot and not a person?
I'm going to cover that in a future column on Medium. I think it's a very interesting issue. My belief is that it is a responsibility of an AI to identify itself as such so that you don't misunderstand it as an emotional being and respond to it as if it's a person. It's weird when you're talking to something that doesn't have real emotions. And it might respond in a way that confuses you or upsets you. So I think it's very important for a bot to identify itself as such. I also think it eventually is going to be important for people on chat, text chat in particular, where you're going to end up talking to a lot more bots, for people to identify themselves as real people. And the most important thing is that neither can lie. Sometimes a person might want to identify as a bot to deflect emotionality, and sometimes a bot might try to identify it as a person to engage a customer. I think both of those are wrong and fraught with problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, Burke, who is in our studio, is not a bot. He's a human who likes to communicate through small white index cards. He says, like what you said, the machines will remember. How will they remember? How will that work exactly?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, you guys got to keep in mind that this is just science fiction thinking for the future. I grew up on sci-fi, and I combine the sci-fi world with the real world. But again, it's the overhead of saying something nice to a machine is very low. I mean, I'll do it right now. You know, Alexa, turn off my office light.
A few things show that
name. Oh, for crying out loud. So much for live demos.
Don't be rude to her.
Hello. Please turn off my office light. Hello. Please turn off the office light.
Sorry, I didn't want to turn off the office light.
All right, I give up. You're a dope.
Sorry.
I'm going to get in trouble. You know, I ran through this like 9 times before I went on air, and it was perfect.
And it did work a second before when you turned it off. It worked off. Yeah. Or no, it turned back on. So Alexa has a mind of her own.
Yeah, there's Hal. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. And Hal actually does have a series of responses for when you say nice things to mm-hmm. her or it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, your question of, you know, so here's this is a my sci-fi hypothesis is that whether it's Siri or Alexa or Google Home or you know eventually Xfinity or Sonos or whatever, when you speak commands to them, they all go into a database, and the retention of that data of the voice responses varies depending on which company you're dealing with. You know, Google keeps it all for a long time. If you have this, Helen, you can I'm turning off the microphone here so she doesn't get sensitive. sorry, didn't mean to tilt the screen down like that. If you have an Echo, you can go into the app on your mobile device, and you can actually play back all your interactions with the device, and then erase them if you want. If you don't erase them, they stay there for an unknown amount of time. But what if these responses, these dialogues that you have with the machines, are kept in a database for a while, and what if they are used to develop a profile of you? How you treat the machine could be just another data point. You know, this person is nice. This person is always angry. This person is a real jerk. And that could affect how the machines respond to you, the offers you get, the quality of service you get, who you're matched with if it's a matchmaking service, like, say, a ride-sharing service. So, like I said, it doesn't cost very much to be nice, and it feels really weird to say please and thank you, at least to me. It feels very strange to say please and thank you to a machine. But it's a pretty easy habit to get into. And I think I did a little decision matrix in my chart. It's just, it doesn't cost much and it couldn't hurt. And it might help. And it could hurt if you're a jerk. Yeah. Just like it is, just like with people.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Echo seems to me like a child in some ways just now, just not, you know, your child does some amazing trick and then you have a dinner party and you, you know, bring out the child and say, do the amazing trick for everyone and they don't
very
do
much.
It. So, speaking of children, like your first thought on this was, well, we shouldn't be teaching our kids to be polite to machines because we need to be teaching our kids that machines are different than people. I mean, one of the reasons that your article really spoke to me, my 12-year-old, you know, the weird conversations you have in the car with your kid. He just said, you know, if a robot were to hurt me, would you hurt the robot? He was like asking this sort of, is it okay to kick a robot? Is it okay to hurt a robot? What if a robot hurts me? And it's like, you know, a robot is not, you can't get revenge on a robot. Like, isn't there some message here that we should be teaching the next generation about really the difference between humans and machines?
I agree completely, which is why I originally was telling my 10-year-old that he didn't have to be polite to the machine no matter what anybody said, because the machine doesn't have feelings. It's just a machine that's been programmed by us to serve us, which sounds like the introduction to Battlestar Galactica. again, I'm going to be serious here for a second about emotionality. There is a science called sentiment analysis, which is used by call centers and marketing companies and all these, and it's on all these Twitter marketing software services that reads the sentiment, the emotional quotient of the user or the customer, and takes actions based on that. And again, if a marketing firm knows, as reading your sentiment, and knows that you are a certain way, that you are quick to anger, that you're just an angry person, they may not match you with a service that you would enjoy because they know that you're difficult. Now, it is the case, you know, getting off track here just slightly, that if you are known to be an extraordinarily difficult customer with, say, an airline, they might treat you better because they don't want you to flip out at them and go on a Twitter rant. I think it's much more likely that if you are known to the algorithm as being a kind and nice and gentle person, you will get the service that a kind and nice and gentle person would get, which is probably what you want, not the service that somebody who's just always kind of a pain in the neck gets.
Yeah, one would hope that that's true.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to a Twitter or Siri or something like that, it's probably almost certainly not necessary, and it's just kind of amusing to think about. But again, as time goes on and we have more and more AI bots, whether they're voice or text or augmented or virtual reality bots, it's going to be more very funny image. It's going to be more and more difficult to remember who we're talking to or what we're talking to or which company or which person. And I just think that politeness is easier to remember than trying to remember that, oh, this is my private bot, it doesn't matter. This is a human being, it does matter. This is the United Airlines customer service bot, and I really don't want to get stuck in a middle seat again.